And coming up next, toddling your way on the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org or on the, well, in the midst of the Huff Archives, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom's endless archives about, well, that cover my Bathrob Spears broadside show. It's the April 9th edition of Bathrob Spears broadsides, the Thursday evening edition. We've got lots of stuff to cram in here and probably going to have to leave some of it for Sunday the 12th, where we'll be coming back, unless we try to shove something in between times, which I've been doing on the Huff website occasionally. You can occasionally find some updates there, or if you go to Santa Cruz Indie Media at indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, you can probably find some of the stuff I've written about, and occasionally some links to audio files. But, well, there's going to be lots of interviews today, and hopefully some updates on what's been happening with relatively fast-breaking events. Though, unfortunately, no breakthroughs around the most basic issues of providing safe shelter-in-place options for vulnerable folks outside, which the city and county continue to postpone, put off, promise, but not provide, at least as of the date and the time of this particular netcast.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So to begin with, Keith McHenry has posted on his Facebook page, Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs, which is one place to go for some recent updates, particularly around the Food Not Bombs meal, which is one of the few places where you can get food, if not the only place you can get a hot meal in Santa Cruz if you're outside, unless you happen to be part of one of the very restricted programs, such as the Association of Faith Communities or the Bag Lunch up at the Morris Street St. Francis Soup Kitchen, or the Elder Meal during the weekdays, a Bag Lunch, I believe, also at the Loudon Nelson Center. Could be wrong about that in terms of the whether it's all dry food, I don't know. But what he has posted is a picture of an individual driving with his little doggy, leaning out his driver's side window, honk for housing, open vacant hotels now. And he is advertising an upcoming protest on Easter Sunday at 2 o'clock. That's going to be a social distancing vehicle drive protest for hotel rooms this Easter Sunday, starting at 2 at Laurel and Front Streets in Santa Cruz at the parking lot right next to the Santa Cruz Community Credit Union. A city with hundreds of empty hotel rooms, writes Keith, can follow the CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control, guidelines, and place all the unhoused people in hotels. We deserve the dignity of clean water and a toilet. Please bring clean blankets to share at the Santa Cruz Homeless Union table at the Laurel and Front Streets, where they're going to now be, I guess, moving the Food Not Bombs meal, probably starting on Saturday. I think today, Thursday the 9th, and tomorrow the 10th, on Friday, they will still be serving under the Food Not Bomb, well, under the parking garage across from the Bookshop Santa Cruz on Front Street at the River Street parking garage on the Front Street side. But on Sunday, there is this protest coming up, which I was talking about online as a prospect, because I don't see, I see people protesting in other cities in cars, which is a way of more safely going out and protesting, considering the current concerns about safe distancing and, or they call it social distancing, and wearing masks and being careful about the coronavirus, but at the same time not abandoning civil liberties and the need to insist that facilities be opened up that are currently being hoarded or locked or kept away from those who need them, and in so doing, harming the entire community. The next post that McHenry has on his Facebook page, the Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs Facebook page, is hotel room keys for all. Everyone deserves a room. And again, that was posted almost a day ago. And that's coming up again, 2 o'clock on Sunday. If you want to show up, bring your vehicle. I'm going to be there. And we originally had more people who were also going to be there. And they have decided to back off because they believe that the county authorities are going to be doing more next week. And I'm going to try to get some more information on that by talking to activist Phil Posner, who is one of the founding members of Conscience in Action, who is originally with me in pushing for this kind of protest, but backed off earlier today after consultations with activist Steve Plaich, who assured him that the county was going to be moving on these issues on Monday. And I want to get some more information if I can find out about this. Well, let's give him a call now and see what, if anything new has developed. So on the line with me.
Your timing is good because I have it up on the computer right now because Louise always helps, looks at my stuff.
Sounds good. We're talking with Phil Posner, who's a co-founder of Conscience in Action. Hi, Phil.
Hi.
And you have been, you know, involved literally, even though you're an older guy and, you know, you're not entirely devoid of medical conditions. You've been out there on a bike giving out bagels, you know, biking around town, taking some considerable risks, but concerned about the food needs of people outside in the current crisis.
Right. I'll tell you what, why don't I read you my letter to Jessica, the woman from the county who has given us an update in terms of what the county is doing, which will allow you, Robert, to question anything that you think I should add or whatever.
Sure.
At the same time, tell the audience what I'm doing.
Go for it.
Dear Jessica, being a board member of the Association of State
Communities. You're kind of fading out there. Can you move a little closer to the phone?
Yeah. Dear Jessica, being a board member of the Association of State Communities, I am grateful to have received your update. As the co-chair of Conscience in Action with Steve Plaich, we had planned to join Huff and Food Not Bombs in an Easter Passover demonstration, quote, to protest our city and county officials' refusal to house the unsheltered in motels so they can safely shelter in place, protecting themselves and others, close quote.
Mm-hmm.
However, due to the legitimate present concerns regarding sheltering in place, we have decided not to participate. And today have so informed the many individuals and other social action groups that we had contacted. And, underlined, we also decided not to participate because of the information you provided in your update. That is to say, unlike our more aggressive fellow activists, we want to give the county the benefit of doubt that the work you describe is actually taking place or soon will. However, we and our fellow homeless activists would be better able to support your work with your answers to the following questions. One, she wrote, the isolation quarantine shelters that were opened yesterday, Monday, April 7th, do they include homeless? No, this is my question. One, the isolation quarantine shelters that were opened yesterday, Monday, April 7th, do they include homeless individuals who meet all four priorities? For example, are priority four persons, quote, experiencing homeless that are elderly, 65 plus, and or medically vulnerable, close quote, to be housed in the shelters? If so, starting when? And while the shelters are evidently not motels, how do you answer the concerns of Food Not Bombs, HUF, and the Homeless Union that the county is not, quote, an acting center for disease control guidelines regarding homelessness, close quote, question mark? Two, and if the shelters are only available from, quote, homeless service providers who have been provided with a form to refer persons to the isolation quarantine shelter sites, close quote, how are present homeless individuals on the street being informed of the shelters? Expanded shelters. A number, she says, a number of expanded shelter opportunities are being developed to enable persons experiencing homelessness who have no COVID-19 symptoms to be able to shelter in place. These shelter sites will be open 24/7 and provide three meals a day, along with Wi-Fi and other entertainment if possible. The sites will soon have showers, close quote. Three, when are these expanded shelters going to be open? And again, how would those who need them know about them? Then I say, while I am not a homeless service provider, about five times a week I personally deliver bagels with peanut butter or cream cheese and bottles of water and sometimes socks to homeless on the street by bike. I call it bagels and bikes, though this week, smile, it's going to be matzahs and bikes. Four, can I share the shelter information with the individuals I meet? And or, if Food Not Bombs would agree, would you allow them to have information flyers available for their clientele on their everyday tables where they are presently feeding individuals? Then, she. Friday, the first expanded shelter opened at the Veterans Memorial Building in Santa Cruz. At full capacity, the shelter will be able to serve up to 50 persons. The first participants of the expanded shelter were clients of the Salvation Army shelters to allow for appropriate social distancing amongst participants, close quote. Five, how is the shelter, quote, implementing hygiene practices and social distancing to help existing clients stay healthy and safe, close quote, while also, quote, trying to consolidate healthy people in part of their spaces to make room for people who become sick or in confined areas, close quote, question mark. Well, I think I have covered our major questions as I pray that the county's efforts on behalf of those in need will be successful. I have also attached my recent op-ed piece that appeared in the Sentinel, Homelessness and the Virus. Happy holidays and good health to you and yours, sincerely, Philip Posner. My question to you is, did you think that I cover some of your questions?
Well, the problem, no, I don't think you do. The reason I don't think you do is because all of the shelters you mention and that she mentions are these congregate shelters that have already been rejected up in San Francisco by the supervisors, by the Coalition on Homelessness, because they don't protect people who are sleeping all in the same area, even if they're 6 or 8 or 10 feet apart. Because it does not provide for the kind of housing that people, for example, in their homes are expected to provide.
Right.
You're not supposed to invite 40 people over to, even if they're all 6 feet apart in your house. That's not what you're supposed to do.
I understand that, but that's why I at least ask, how do you then answer the concerns of Food Not Bombs and HUF regarding the health issue?
Right. Well, the answer, you certainly can ask that, and I'm glad you do, but it doesn't mean anything unless you are referencing the fact that the answer to that, the only one I can think of, is a motel and hotel rooms that are segregate and separate, such as are being purchased and proposed in counties all over the state, but not in Santa Cruz.
Right.
And so that fact means we have to be doing the protesting that we're doing. At least that's why I feel I have to.
Right.
And I would have hoped that anyone listening to this will join us on Sunday at 2, including you. I hope you change your mind, you know, because I think that regardless of all these congregate shelters, they don't have any answers for your questions. If they did, they would be out there already.
Robert, when you ask, this is part of our philosophical differences. I like to give people and institutions the benefit of the doubt with questions. That's what I'm doing. And by the way, it is possible that she could say, yes, we are considering motels. Or she could say, yes, we are making sure that people are separated by more than 10 feet or something like that. That is to say, she could answer. Now, her answer is not going to be what you and I would ideally like. That is for sure, absolutely, motels. But it's possible that she might provide us with some answers that are at least relevantly fair and just.
First of all, you're delaying action. The fact that we're, for example, even delaying this protest a day means it intensifies the danger of this virus spreading. So the idea that you just want to give her a fair chance to answer gives all those homeless people out there an unfair chance to get sick. And so I'm afraid I would weigh that differently in the scales. I just would. But I understand your argument. I just don't agree with it.
Yeah, right. And by the way, I understand your argument. But
yeah.
Being on the streets pretty much every day with my bagels and bikes, I have to tell you that I don't excuse the large number of homeless people that I meet who are not keeping safe distance and are therefore jeopardizing their own situation.
Well, what does that have to do with this, with the county and the city providing housing for people?
It doesn't. I'm only making the aside statement.
Well, it's irrelevant to me.
Homeless people need to be responsible as well for their health situation. And when I'm out doing my bagels and bikes, I try in a nice way to ask them, are you keeping distance from each other, particularly people you don't know?
Well, I think I understand that, and I think there's nothing wrong with, you know, that kind of proposition. But the reality is, if at the same time you're giving the benefit of the doubt to the bureaucrats who are safely in their homes, snuggled in bed every night, and don't have to worry about the kinds of things that those people on the streets are worrying about, you're doing a fundamental injustice to people outside. That's my view.
Yeah, no, but I understand.
Yeah. So let's,
I have a side question, by the way, because you noticed at the end I asked her, I told her that I was sending her my op-ed piece. Did you ever see my op-ed piece?
I think I did, Phil, but I don't know. I guess people can reference it by looking up Phil Posner, P-O-S-N-E-R, online on the Santa Cruz Sentinel. You can probably find his editorial piece. I got to leave you here with that. I'll give you the last word, though.
As usual, we had a good dialogue, and I appreciate the passion that you, Robert Norris, bring to this issue of suffering of homeless people.
Yeah, and I know you work real hard on this stuff, Phil, yourself, but there's definitely a real difference of opinion here, and I hope I can get you to change your mind. All right, you take care, man.
I don't want to change your mind. I enjoy what you get to value. Thanks.
All right, then. Bye-bye. And that was Phil Posner. Let's have a musical break, shall we? And I hope that folks will show up at this Easter Sunday 2 p.m. protest at the Santa Cruz Community Credit Union parking lot at Laurel and Front Streets, you know, keeping the adequate distances that need to be kept in order to hold these bureaucrats accountable and get them to act before it's too late, unless it's already too late for people that they've ignored and not even furnished the most elementary needs for, not just over the last few days, but of course over the last few weeks, months, and years. So this musical break is going to feature Randy Rainbow's song Andy. It's a parody, unfortunately a rather gentle, it may even be a loving parody of Governor Andy Cuomo, who for me has a very bad reputation, and I'll be playing a little discussion of that afterward. But here's Randy's gentle take on Andy.
This is a pandemic. I felt it was a pandemic long before it was called a pandemic. All you had to do is look at other countries.
Stranded in my bedroom, no one to love. Then there he is.
Let us give you an update as to where we are today.
My favorite girl.
That's right. Watching your daily press briefings sure does calm me down. The way you manage to lead and inform without terrifying the living shit out of me or straying from the facts, and still find time to nurture my delicate spirit with adorable slideshows and relatable anecdotes about meatballs. You're wise, level-headed, eloquent, and sexy at a time when the country needs it most. It sure is a refreshing change from that mother... Oh, gee, I won't get into specifics. You know I don't like to be political. I guess what I'm trying to say, Andrew, is that you're my number one Cuomo now. And whatever you decide to be once this whole thing blows over, whether it's governor of New York or president of the United States or ABC's Next Bachelor, I'm with you now, Andy. Only you. Even as I continue to light a candle, get naked, and pray every night for the speedy recovery of your brother, my first love, Chris. With his tight, wet t-shirts and his sweaty Instagram workout videos and his big, muscular... You know, actually, I'm still really into Chris, too.
Oh, Andy, baby, you're so strong and rational.
He's so smart.
From now on, I identify as homosexual.
And much as I like Randy Rainbow, here's what Democracy Now!, about 2 weeks ago, had to say about Andy Cuomo. Amid a severe supply shortage of protective masks and ventilators, medical workers across the U.S. also have to contend with a sheer lack of space in hospitals for those affected by the COVID-19 outbreak. Sean Petty, a registered nurse in the pediatric emergency room of a public hospital in the Bronx and member of the New York State Nurses Association, attributes this to decades of budget slashing by all of the people who are making political and economic decisions around public health. In the case of New York, Petty says that Governor Andrew Cuomo is probably the single most important person in terms of the drive to close down hospital beds in the state over the last 20 years. Cuomo's time in office has seen many hospital closures and efforts to cut Medicaid. We have to remember that a lot of the issues that we're seeing come up now, they're not new issues, says Kelly Cabrera, another emergency room nurse in the Bronx. We've just added the stress of a pandemic to it, and it's pushing us to new places we've never seen before. And that was from a week or two back. Here's something more recent on Democracy Now!. Governor Cuomo slashes Medicaid as New York struggles to get handle on COVID-19 cases from April 6th. New York remains the epicenter of the crisis in the U.S., representing nearly half of the country's fatalities. Over the weekend, more than 1,200 New Yorkers died within a 48-hour window, bringing the state's official death toll to over 4,000. There are over 123,000 confirmed cases. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said the city has enough medical supplies to last until Tuesday or Wednesday, as he repeated a plea for any available healthcare workers to join the fight against the pandemic. At his briefing, de Blasio also blamed the surge in New York cases on the lack of early testing and mobilization from the federal government. As New York races to keep up with the explosion of coronavirus cases, progressive critics say the state budget agreed to by Governor Cuomo and the New York legislature last week will harm New Yorkers already suffering the most from the coronavirus crisis. The $177 billion budget will slash the state's Medicaid program by $2.5 billion a year, including a $400 million cut in money for hospitals. The budget also rolls back bail reform. Meanwhile, a prisoner at Rikers Island in New York has died of complications from COVID-19. Hundreds of prisoners and prison workers at facilities across the city have tested positive as calls mount to release more detainees in order to stem the spread of the coronavirus. And we don't know what's going on, of course, in Santa Cruz around the jails here. But we do know that the police are beefing up and joining forces with each other all over the city and county to make sure that you stay off the beaches, stay out of the parks, and get seriously fined if you assemble publicly in the wrong places at the wrong times. All of this, of course, as a public health threat. So why press for protest fast now? Why not wait for city and county authorities to come around and do the right thing, or give them a fair chance to do the right thing? Well, here's an article from the Poor People's online magazine, Prensa Pobre, and the article is Stop Hoarding Hotel Rooms, a press statement by houseless and housed Californians against California Corona Camps. And this is by Tiny, and was written 6th of April 2020, or posted on that date. Houseless peoples and advocates stand together against camps, quote-unquote, for homeless Californians while motel and hotel rooms are hoarded and sit empty. And that's happening in Santa Cruz, of course, and that's the problem. From Santa Cruz to San Francisco and all across this nation, government agencies who receive millions of dollars to, quote, help homeless people are warehousing unhoused people in cold, unsafe convention halls, parking lots, or abandoned buildings, while thousands of motel and hotel rooms are hoarded by greedy corporation owners and sit empty. We might also note that in Santa Cruz, there are three main so-called shelters. The Laurel Street Shelter, which has been going for, about a year and a half, maybe 2 years now. I'm not sure for how long. I think there was a break in there somewhere. But people are literally neck and neck in those shelters, in that particular shelter. In order to thin it out, the 60 people, I think they moved 20 of them into the Vets Hall. And there, I think the Vets Hall now has a capacity of 40. And that, too, is, again, all in one room in an indoor area where there is a confined space. And that's not what's recommended by the CDC. That's not what authorities think is a good idea or even maybe even legal for even individuals in houses. I mean, you can't invite 40 people over to your house and not expect some problems. So, for example, there have already been tickets issued, I've been told. I'm not sure if we're talking Santa Cruz, Watsonville, or another county, because of a noise disturbance by a party that was being held, and the people got ticketed for not maintaining safe distances. I suppose you can say you can have a rigid safe distance requirement in each of these homeless shelters, but everyone in the same room, sleeping there, being there day and night, it's not a recipe for any kind of safety for the folks that are there, particularly when you have other options. And that, of course, is the issue that this article talks about. And the other shelter is, of course, the Armory in Santa Cruz, which is a similar situation. 40 people in one room, each with their own tent. Yes, that's certainly better than simply a cot on the floor. But it's in the same room. It's in the same area. This is an illness that spread through the air as well as through contact with surfaces, as I understand it. I was stopped by police three times yesterday asking me what I was doing on the street, said John Randall, unhoused poverty scola reporter for Poor Magazine's Roofless Radio. We need to place vulnerable unhoused people in hotel rooms now. Time wasted is lives risked, said Jennifer Friedenbach, director of the Coalition on Homelessness. Many privileged people have never experienced this in their lifetimes. However, people with disabilities, especially us who are houseless, have experienced this over and over. How government and even some in our communities have time and time again left us behind in times of emergencies, from Hurricane Katrina to the earthquake in Puerto Rico. Just as the New Orleans Superdome became a terrifying place for a lot of people who became homeless, today in San Francisco, the mayor is opening up indoor camps. This is why we need solutions from and by the people, like Homefulness of Poor Magazine, said Leroy Moore, co-founder of Homelessness, a homeless people's solution to homelessness, and Crip Hop Nation. Why would I ever go to camp? As a houseless black woman, I have no trust in the government, said Marcia C., houseless poverty scola reporter for Poor Magazine. The Bay Area and all of California is home to some of the largest homeless communities in the country, yet local governments have provided little to prevent the spread of coronavirus among homeless people and are now coming up with a fascist response that is analogous to incarceration or internment camps, while houseless people in cities like Berkeley and San Francisco face increased police harassment for not sheltering in place. This is also true, I'm afraid, in Santa Cruz. These camps will kill us if the police don't first harass us to go in them. The terrifying actions of polar tricksters like San Francisco Mayor London Breed, Governor Newsom, and Justin Cummings of Santa Cruz, as well as wealth hoarding and land stealing corporate hotel and motel owners, all working in tandem to perpetuate dangerous scarcity models of not enough, will result in the death of thousands of us poor and houseless people, said Lisa Tiny Gray Garcia, formerly Houseless co-founder of Poor Magazine and Homefulness and author of Criminal of Poverty, Growing Up Homeless in America. Unhoused communities are more likely to struggle with medical fragility, disability, and or have health conditions including HIV, heart disease, and diabetes, making them extremely vulnerable during global pandemics. Advocates and houseless people across California have been struggling with increased police harassment for walking, sleeping, or living while houseless in public for years, and now with the implementation of these corona camps, the police interactions have become more violent and dangerous. Indoor camps, as currently fashioned, will not prevent the spread of corona COVID-19. It, in fact, does the opposite. It places people in close quarters with inadequate sanitation opportunities, including bathroom and isolation areas, when Californians have been ordered to shelter in place. It does not provide, per the governor's charge, a door with a key that locks, said Carol Fife, director of ACCE and Moms for Housing organizer. All of our health depends on each other right now, and hoarding money in empty hotel rooms means more of us will die. This virus is making it more clear than ever that before our decision to prioritize private property over our friends and neighbors who have been evicted and displaced is a matter of life and death, and the city is choosing death, said housed member of Poor Magazine's Solidarity Family, a coalition of conscious people with race and class privilege who radically redistribute hoarded resources to support unhoused black, brown, indigenous, and poor people across Turtle Island. As a contrast to the government scarcity model politics, acts of violent wealth hoarding of land and resources is Poor Magazine's Homefulness Project. The United Front Against Displacement Self-Help Hunger Program, East Oakland Collective, the Disability Culture Club, Homies Empowerment, Community Ready Corps, Consider the Homeless, and other very grassroots organizations all across the Bay Area that have been doing daily mutual aid distribution, redistribution efforts to unhoused and very low-income housed or marginally housed indigenous refugees, providing supplies of gloves, masks, hand sanitizers, and more to people who have no way of affording or even attaining these crucial survival supplies. All of the agencies are accepting donations of supplies and resources to continue this urgent work. We are the ones in the trenches fighting this war against a virus with the poor people while those in power continue their behavior of protecting the dollar, Barbara Brust of Consider the Homeless in Berkeley says. We stand with the houseless people in California demanding the human right to be housed. There are more abandoned houses, hotels, and dorm rooms than homeless people. No houseless person should die from a preventable death. House the people now, said Sherry Honkala, Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign and Poor People's Army Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And this is a long article that continues. You can read it online. Just go to Poor People Magazine and you'll check out the article, Stop Hoarding Hotel Rooms, Press Statement by Houseless and Housed Californians Against California Corona Camps. So I'm trying to give a call now to Keith McHenry to get his latest update Thursday afternoon, and also to get a response to Phil Posner's suggestion that this whole the protest be postponed. But some of us, at least I, disagree, and perhaps we'll hear the same. But unfortunately, it looks like Keith is on the line to somebody else. So let's pick up on a few of, well, here's an earlier update from Keith from earlier today. And I think he may have also mentioned his opinion on this issue then as well. You can certainly go online and find it there under the Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs Facebook page. Keith McHenry on April 9th. On the line with Keith McHenry, 11:45 on April 9th. Keith, what's this? Yeah, that's what it is. Is this rumor true that you're moving from the garage lot number 4 to lot number something else?
It's not a rumor. It's a fact, and it will be because we have too many people that can fit at lot 10.
And where will you be going?
To come to the corner of Laurel and Front Street, which has one portable toilet, and then there's a locked portable toilet over at lot 17. I do not know the number of the lot, but it's next to the
Community Credit Union.
Credit Union, yeah. So that's where we're going for starting on Easter weekend. 5 o'clock on Saturday, Reverend Joel and hopefully Phil and others are going to be doing a Easter fire celebration thing that Joel wants to do.
Where will that be?
And that will be at the corner of Front Street and Laurel.
It's the same lot that we're
talking about? Parking lot, yeah, in the same parking lot. Everything now will be in that parking lot from now on, with the exception of the cooking, which will be done at in the parking lot of
Joe Schultz's place?
Joe Schultz's, because we cannot get a kitchen, because we're being blocked by kitchens by the smear campaign that occurred by Andy Mills, which was then reconstituted by Jessica York, although hopefully Jessica York is going to shortly get a rebuttal to that, because that needs to happen ASAP.
And he's referring to Police Chief Andy Mills and Santa Cruz Sentinel writer Jessica York.
Even Father Joel was like, oh, wow, you're doing unsanitary blah, 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 which we are not. And
Father Joel, of course, is Joel Miller, who was presiding pastor at the Calvary Episcopal and is now, I'm not quite sure what his position is. He's often there, used to be there at the Monday Meals as a sort of a religious leader and supporter, feeder of people. But, we'll see if he shows up for this Saturday fire event. Well, I'm not quite sure what that is. And further, for the Sunday 2 o'clock in-car protest that will try to put pressure on city officials to open up the hotel rooms that need to be opened up instead of housing people in these unsafe congregations of folks that are a Petri dish for COVID-19.
Contact with the head of environmental health, Dr. Underwood, mm-hmm. who is supporting what we're doing. So I'm trying to get an official quote from her for the next community email that I'm putting out, because, we're being blocked financially because of this. The kitchens are being blocked, and none of it is true. In fact, as can be noted, we were doing social distancing before there was even a term called social distancing, and we started on March 14th, and which is why we were at the clock tower on March 14th, and March 15th is when we just didn't leave after the 15th until we got forced out of there, and then, of course, the swamp was too much of a swamp, and now all the boards that the government...
That was planted, that was at San Lorenzo Benchlands, yeah?
Yeah, San Lorenzo Benchlands, and now those that wood is being used to for tent platforms of people that live outside.
And the city apparently, or the county, supplied some wood with the idea of providing a safe platform in the out of sight, out of mind San Lorenzo Benchlands that they had forced Food Not Bombs to move to, not allowing them to serve on a more secure and cleanable cement or concrete spaces, such as in the back of the county building or in one of the parking lots, and after which they simply returned to one of the parking lots where they've been feeding for the last week anyway, essentially saying, we have to do this. People need to be fed.
Any reports from the last night that you think we should know about from folks outside?
I have just gotten outside, so I do not know.
Okay, I'll call you back in a couple of hours, perhaps in the middle of the meal. And I guess the question is, will the meal continue at Lot 10 until Saturday?
Yeah, until Saturday. We'll be there from 1 until 6 every day today and tomorrow, and then we will be 1 to 6 at the... at lot, whatever the lot's number
at is. Laurel, at Laurel and Front Street next to the Community Credit Union.
Yeah, and until they remove the barricades at the
town clock.
There until they remove the barricades from the post office, at which point we will be there.
Okay, so right now people should still go to the area across from the bookshop Santa Cruz facing Front Street under the parking garage for today and tomorrow from 1 to 6.
Correct. Exactly.
Okay. I will, if you can, give Phil a call very briefly. I know you're a busy man.
Just to make
contact is my suggestion, but do what you need to do, and I'll call you in a couple hours.
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a pack of 3-ply? The magpies have hoarded it. I just don't know why. I don't know what will happen if you don't comply. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a pack of 3-ply? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me just one tin of beans? The shelves are all empty. You know what that means. I can't face the shop now. There's chaotic scenes. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me just one tin of beans? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a kilo of rice? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please just be nice. Prove that you love me and grant me this vice. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a kilo of rice? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a pack of 3-ply? The magpies have hoarded it. I just don't know why. I don't know what will happen if you don't comply. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a pack of 3-ply?
And that was an anonymous effort from the internet. Can't tell you where, can't tell you who, but there it was. And lest we be leaving renters out, here's some tips from Cynthia Berger, who is with the, I don't know if I can get this one right, Power Surge, she'll be telling you which organization she represents, and here she is talking about some legal changes and trying to clear up some myths, which I myself may be guilty of passing on. So I'm on the line with, do you want me to say who you are, and how do you want me to introduce you?
No, my regular name is fine.
You are Cynthia M. Berger, is that correct? And Cynthia, you've been active with tenants' rights for a number of years, and a struggling tenant as well. Also a poster on Facebook around latest developments, and that's why I'm calling you. So what have you got for us that might either reassure or alarm tenants?
Well, the judicial case of the state of California made two rules on this Monday. They passed two rules, and this affects all the courts in California. So this is big, and they're about eviction and foreclosure. And I didn't study the foreclosure part, but I did post it online. It's all part of the same memo. And the memo, the summary of these rules was put out by the Western Center of Law and Poverty and California Rural Legal Assistance and also Disability Rights California. Those are three great nonprofits. And so basically they put a hold on all evictions so that they cannot be followed up on by the court. So if someone does file an eviction, the court can't do anything about it. They're not stopping people from filing an eviction, but they're stopping any further action once it's filed, basically. Mm-hmm. So they're putting a freeze on the whole process.
Now, this actual decision can be read on a Facebook page?
Yeah, I mean, you could probably Google Judicial Council of California eviction foreclosure rule,
mm-hmm.
and that was passed Monday, April 6th. But you can see it on the Power Surge Tenants' Rights Facebook page.
Power Surge Tenants' Rights, okay.
Or you can see it on the Movement for Housing Justice Facebook page. And, you know, if you see it, people should share it. And I also just posted it on the Santa Cruz County Homeless Advocates page.
Now, do we have any indication that sheriffs are respecting this? If a landlord rolls in and calls up a sheriff and says, evict these people out of here, they're guilty. Are the sheriffs saying, nah, we're not doing that?
Well, the sheriffs can never do that. So that's kind of a weird myth that you shouldn't perpetuate. So let me educate you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Landlords don't call sheriffs. Sheriffs receive a writ from the court if an eviction, you know, is settled. You know, once an eviction is decided against a tenant. Otherwise, the landlords and sheriffs have no interaction legally, basically.
Hmm. Gotcha.
The only reason, because it's civil, it's all civil,
mm-hmm.
so it's not criminal. So you can't call the cops on a tenant and have them put you out. That's just, you know, maybe in the old days, but that's just what they, because that's such a widespread myth, this is why you shouldn't spread it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of tenants and landlords still believe that, but it can never happen.
So have you, you used to be getting some communications from tenants in trouble. What's been the kind of communications you've been getting, if any, in the last couple of months? I realize that, you know, you've been working on other issues, personal and otherwise, but anything coming in the last...
Yeah. So there's a number of things that have come up, but most of them, I've gotten several calls from people who are essential business workers. Like, they work in a grocery store, or they work in a dispatch, you know, some kind of like an emergency services dispatch. And they rent with, they usually, the ones that I've called, I've been getting are from people who rent from their landlord and live on the same property, either in the same house or in a house that's on the property of the landlord. And so, you know, we have probably a higher percentage of that kind of rental situation in Santa Cruz because we don't have a lot of apartments,
mm-hmm.
especially in the city. We don't, you know, as an area, as a county, we don't have a lot of apartment complexes compared to more urban places. So anyway, I got a call from a Trader Joe's worker. I got a call from a grocery outlet worker. The Trader Joe's worker was like a young person with their first time renting. They were living in like a mobile home with a real estate lawyer, and the woman they were renting from gave them a letter telling, you know, so what happened was they're working at Trader Joe's and they got a cough and a cold, so they took a few days off work, but they can't be tested because there isn't enough testing. So Santa Cruz County is always, you know, lagging behind everything. But anyway, grocery store workers, they should have a priority to get tested because they're hugely exposed and they're vectors,
mm-hmm.
but they don't. So not only do they not have a priority to get tested, they also don't have, they're making record profits. outlets and Trader Joe's, but unlike hospitals that rent hotels to put up frontline workers so they don't become vectors in the community, the grocery stores are not even providing masks. You know, they're doing nothing for their workers. They're just, you know, forcing them to be the usual slave labor. I encourage them to just, you know, tell them they're sick and get laid off so they can get their full salary with unemployment if they can. But anyway, so this, the landlady gave him a letter that told him that she was afraid that he was spreading coronavirus because he had a cough and a cold and he couldn't get tested, and she wanted him out immediately, if not sooner. And, you know, he was freaked out, so he called me up. But anyway, the upshot is he moved out, because what other option did he have? Is he going to stay there with this, you know, horrible person screaming at him all the time? I went over there, actually, and took a picture of that person. And fortunately, a family member helped them move out, but they didn't get their deposit back, and they didn't get the rest of their month refunded. And this is a real estate lawyer, so an unethical person, and nasty to boot. So that's one that happened. The second one was the grocery outlet worker was renting, and he wasn't sick, but the landlord got afraid because he works at a grocery store. And, you know, I can understand that. And told him he wanted him to move out. And I passed both of these along to... Well, I passed that one along to Supervisor John Leopold to see if he would help him, and he said he would write a letter to the landlord.
Did he?
But, I don't know, but the point is it's not really black and white. If you're living there with somebody, that you are a vector when you work in a grocery store. The grocery store should be putting you in a motel room.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. So the grocery stores really, the corporations really are more of the culprit here than the small landlord that's got somebody sharing their home.
Mm-hmm.
And our county could do something about that. Our cities could do something about that. So I asked John Leopold if he would consider, you know, if the supervisors would consider making a rule that grocery stores have to rent, you know, some kind of motel rooms for their workers. And he just scoffed at me. He said that was ridiculous and there's no way that they could ever tell them that they had to do that. He was actually quite rude to me about it. But I said, I know, John, but, you know, you're not a lawyer, so is it possible? And he said, you know, he begrudgingly said he would check with the county's lawyer. I really don't know if he's done that
yet. When did you have the conversation with him?
Pardon?
When did you speak to him?
That was about, I think that was Monday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So there would have been time before the Tuesday supervisors meeting had he wanted to do that.
But I'm not following every meeting and
I understand.
People. I'm not following up.
That's fine. That was just my comment. I'm not suggesting.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. There might not have even been a meeting on.
I got calls from other tenants who have had their job hours cut back, but they're fortunate enough to still be working, and they asked their landlord if they could pay less rent because their hours have been cut, and the landlord was, you know, not really compliant with that. And, you know, I just tell them to contact their supervisor. These things are, a lot of them are happening in Live Oak. There's a lot of people in John Leopold's district. He probably has more people in his district than any other district.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And how many of these calls would you say you've received?
Well, I've been getting 3 or 4 calls a day, and most of them have been related. Okay, I got a call also from a dispatcher, from an emergency dispatcher, who also had was renting, you know, living with their landlord, and their landlady was freaked out and very tense and very nasty and telling her she should move out right away, which, you know, they don't have a right to do that. And you know, so I'm just counseling people on how best to deal with these situations. Usually they know their landlord a lot better than I do, and so they know if they can actually have a conversation with them and get them to act more reasonably. But I try to give them, you know, I mean, even knowing the rule, even knowing that, oh, you can't evict someone, doesn't mean people aren't going to evict them, and it doesn't mean tenants are going to stay and live with somebody who's treating them that way.
Exactly. That's why I was, going into the details, and I'm glad you're giving them to us.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation. I mean, this thing is so deadly, mm-hmm. so easily transmitted. So I think that, it would really help if all the grocery store workers were allowed to have, they should make these record profits need to go towards their civic duty of making their workers not a vector, to their own families and the rest of the community. So I think they should pass that. I think that there needs to be pressure on them to pass a law that says during this epidemic you have to put grocery store workers and other frontline workers that are in essential jobs that can't be laid off and get unemployment, unless they're sick or something. So they have to go to work, and they have to be exposed to the public. So they should put them in they should have, just like housing is a problem for everybody, they should put them in the hotel. Santa Cruz must have so many empty hotels right now. It's just the most disgusting county I've ever heard of.
Yeah. I'm actually looking for the stats on vacancies in hotels. I take it you don't have those stats at the moment.
No, but you can be sure that they're, I don't know if they're even allowed to, are they allowed to, are they an essential business?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, so you just call the county and ask the health and they'll tell you. Hmm. I called them about something and,
Okay.
So, I called them about grocery workers, and I said, "So why, why isn't the county making grocery stores put them up at hotels?" But they were able to tell me on the phone what is an essential business. Oh, I know. I called because a cleaning crew came into my landlord's home, who's 75 and disabled, last week, and they didn't even have masks on, and they just walked in, and I just they're not an essential service right now. Mm-hmm. And so they shouldn't come in the first place. And if she's going to send them out to, if the owner sends them out to be exposed to people and to expose people without a mask, So I was calling to find out if cleaning businesses were an essential business.
And you got an answer that satisfied you.
Yeah, and so you can get an answer from, if you call the county COVID hotline or whatever, they'll switch you to the right place at the health department. I mean, cleaning businesses, they're not essential services, but sometimes they might be allowed to do what they're doing if it's, it's all basic health and safety stuff. I'm going to hang up because I like to watch Gavin Newsom's Daily News Conference.
Uh-oh, I'll let you. My sympathies.
It's on the Facebook, California Governor Facebook page. If you scroll down, you'll see it. It's live.
Is it also repeated or?
Yeah, you can see it later, too.
All right. Well, good luck with Newsom, and thanks.
And if you have any more, questions, call me a little in about an hour.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
It's at moments like these, everything is in the air. The possibilities are nowhere and everywhere. You gotta break a bone to set it, and now all we are is broke, a lot of folks are saying. It's time to be woke. And they're not talking about microaggressions, but the really big ones. The basic assumptions, like planets circling suns, but there are no natural laws that built your mansions or your tents. These are creations of society, just like mortgages and rent. It's a future of uncertainty. But our liberation can only be as free as our imagination. If you were born and raised to believe it's sacrosanct that whoever has a whole lot of money in the bank deserves to then live off the wealth from the houses that they own, and if they raise your rent, you can move or take out a loan. Then how can you demand your human rights if you don't believe you have any, as if you deserve your plight? But if things were hard before, Now the system has flatlined. Time for those basic rights to be redefined. It's a future of uncertainty. But our liberation can only be as free as our imagination. All these vaunted freedoms added to the Constitution as an afterthought after Shay's Rebellion did not include the right to land or the right to eat or the right for human beings not to be dying on the street. It's moments like these, when we're standing on the edge, that we might catch the strongest breeze to land furthest from the ledge, 'cause we can fly, you know. All you need is wings. We can house and feed each other. Together, we can do anything. It's a future of uncertainty, but our liberation can only be as free as our imagination. It's at moments like these, everything is in the air. The possibilities are nowhere and everywhere.
And that was David Rovick's Our Imagination, one of his songs for today on his website. And it's time to give David some more money to keep him going. If you're interested, check it out. Donate some money to keep him going and check his website, davidrovicks.com. check it out on his online website and donate. I better do the same.